Amen. What up, church? Oh, that was weak. What? How's everybody doing? All right. Wow. Man, winter has just won't go away, will it? It's just hanging around for a little too long. It was kind of like we had an argument with winter, and finally winter stepped out of the room. And we're like, oh, good, winter's gone. And then winter came back into the room and said, and another thing, I'll tell you right now. And I'll tell you what, this is the only time of year where I'm a little frustrated with the Michigan weather. How about you? It's like, can it just warm up? How many of you went on spring break this week? You're on spring break? You went somewhere warm? You're warm? Everybody stare at them with envy that you didn't go somewhere warm for spring break. Well, we had a good time on Easter this last week. We saw four people accept Christ as their personal Savior. Another good thing I want to mention is that we have the building permit for our nursery. Right there. And all the people with kids said, yeah, it's going to be really neat. It's going to be good. Well, we start a new series today called Why God? Why'd you do this? Why are you doing this? How many of you guys have ever asked that question before? Lord, what are you doing? When I was living in San Bernardino, California, actually we were living in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I was working in San Bernardino, and I was hanging shutters and blinds and mini blinds, and I got a job there in San Bernardino. And on the order, it said, "Be careful, this house is dangerous." I'm like, what? You know, like, what is he talking about? And I went to the house, and I knocked on the door, and the lady opens the door, and this smell that came from the house literally, like, punched me in the face. It was so intense. It was like an ammonia smell, you know? It was just horrible. And she opened the door and she said, okay, come on in. And when I walked in the door, to my horror, I saw hundreds of cats everywhere. Obviously, she was a cat lady. And cats everywhere. Kittens, cats. And they're crawling all over the place everywhere. And she's showing me where I'm supposed to hang these mini blinds and these vertical blinds. And I was like, I didn't want to touch anything. I'm just kind of in the room like, oh, this is really bad. And she took me down a hallway and opened a door. And when she opened the door, there were more cats, kittens, cats. And the smell was horrendous. And opened another door. And I remember going outside of the house to go get the blinds, just trying to get some air. And I did not want to go back into that place. And it just kept getting worse. I went back in and I was going to do the first window, and I pulled her old blinds off, and it was just horrendous. And I went to take out a bracket, and I put my elbow on the window, and my elbow went through the window, broke her window. It's another bad thing. So I called my boss, say, hey, I broke the window with my elbow, and you know, it's never happened before, you know. So then I go back into the house, and I'm hanging the brackets. When I pull the brackets out, I go to drill a pilot hole in the wall, and so I drill the hole, pull out the drill from the wall, and out from that hole poured out millions of bugs. Just, I was like, I'm out. I'm out. Like, this is, and I look down. I'm standing down. I had to stand on her couch, and I look down, and there's cockroaches on my legs. And I run out of the house, and I call my boss. I said, I cannot do this. I don't care if I lose my job. I'm not doing this house. And then I called animal control on her on my way. I was in my truck driving home. It was my last job of the day, and I told my wife, I said, honey, you would not believe what I just experienced. And as I'm talking to her, I look down, there's a cockroach on my leg. And she said, just get home. I walked inside the house, went directly to the bathroom, into the shower with my clothes on, and put all my clothes into a black trash bag, threw them all away, scrubbed like three times. It was the most horrendous thing I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable. How many of you have ever had something bad happen to you? How many of you ever had every, it just seemed like every door you walked through smelled. It seemed like every endeavor you took on, it just didn't seem to go right. And maybe you asked the question, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Have you ever asked this question? Why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you have ever asked this question? Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe you're thinking, I'm trying to do right. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm trying to please you, Lord. Why did this bad thing happen to me? Nobody was more prepared to ask this question than a man named Job. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Job. If anybody could ask this question, it'd be Job. If you turn to Job, this is in the poetic books, it's right before Psalms, okay? I want you to notice, I'm going to go through this story with you. I want you to get this. This is so absolutely amazing. Go to the book of Job, chapter 1. If you're there, raise your hand. I'm there. Okay, good. Look what it says in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. We would call him the Wizard of Uz. That was my lame joke of the day. Whose name was Job. Now, when I first got saved, I got saved at 21. I thought this book was named Job. And I thought, this is like instruction on how to be a good employee. This is great. And I found out this is a guy. His name's Job. And that man was perfect and upright. We would say he was good, right? And one that feared God and eschewed evil. He ran from evil, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance, check out what he owned, was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Look what Job did for his kids, because he wanted his kids to love God. Look how good he was. For it was so that the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Here's a guy who not only loved God, but he loved his children too and wanted his children to serve God and to love God. What an amazing guy. Look in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, he says, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered and said, from going to and fro the earth, and from walking up and down it. By the way, if you're taking notes, put 1 Peter 5:7 right next to that. The Bible says there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How many of you guys have understood now the devil's not for you? He's against you. He wants to devour you. Okay, notice what happens. And the Lord said unto Satan in verse 8, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a good man, a perfect man, an upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered and said, Lord, and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? That house blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Look at Satan. He says, well, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. In other words, Satan saying, just take everything away from him and he's going to curse you. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what happened to Job? Here comes the Sabians and the Chaldeans. They come and literally kill all of his children in one day. Everything he owned was destroyed by either fire or the enemy. In today's world, because of Adam and Eve, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How many of you guys understand? We live in a sin-cursed world. Then there's 2 different kinds of evil in this world. There's moral evil. Moral evil is murder, is rape, is lying, is cheating, is stealing. How many guys understand moral evil? How many guys understand that exists today? Okay? That happened to Job. The Chaldeans, the Sabians came and killed his kids. Think about that. Stole his herds. That's moral evil. By the way, if you're suffering today because of your moral evil, you're suffering because of your decisions. Okay? But there's also natural evils as well. Some of his children died because a great firestorm came through. A big windstorm knocked down the building and it killed his kids. So both things happened to Job. Moral evil happened to him, and natural evil happened to him. And you know what Job says in verse number 20 after all this happened? And Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? He worshipped. In verse 21, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." What's he say? "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So he proved to God, and proved to Satan, why he feared God. He feared God because he loved God. So Satan comes back to God and says, "Okay, skin for skin." Yeah, okay, so he still fears you. But if you were to take your hand off of his health, then he will curse you to your face. And God said to the devil, he says, "Okay, I'll take my hand off of his health. You can have that too, but just don't take his life." So Satan in chapter 2 smites Job with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. I mean, it's not like the devil just kind of gave him a little cold, you know, gave him the flu. He gave him the worst thing a human being could possibly go through. So painful that no matter what he did, it hurt. He was so disfigured that at the end of chapter 2, his three friends came to mourn with him and couldn't even recognize Job. In fact, even his own wife says, you still fear the God, fear God? You still retain your integrity?" And this is what Job's wife said to him. She says, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Why, God? Why do bad things happen to good people?" What's amazing is that he never sinned nor charged God foolishly. Job understood one thing. He understood one thing. There's no such thing as good people. There's only one that's good, and that's God. Now, from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 37, I want you to get this. Job has a dialogue with all three of his friends. And you know what the dialogue is about? All three of his friends want to know what Job did that was evil and bad. Because Job, we know God's good and he's perfect and he's great. So we know this. You must have done something really bad. And Job responds back to his friends saying, "No, I'm like you guys." It's amazing if you read the story. Many chapters, he says, the poor, I fed the poor. One guy was trying to take advantage of the weak, and I actually broke his jaw. The Bible actually says that Job broke a guy's jaw defending the innocent. And Job's like, "No, I'm doing all these things." Job even gets to a point where he reminisces about the good old days. He says, "Man, I wish you could go back to what it was like with all my kids and just having fellowship with them and everything I used to have." And he begins to question God, "Why is this happening? Why is it?" And by the way, it's okay to ask why, isn't it? So Job's three friends, Eliphaz was sensitive. All these guys had different personalities. Bildad was very logical. And Zophar was very hot-headed, okay? But they were all cut from the same cloth of theological error. They all believed that only the good got good, and all the bad got bad. Only good things happen to good people, and only bad things happen to bad people. How many of you guys understand this morning that bad things happen to good people? And that bad people have good things happen to them. God allows the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. That's the fact. And the three friends could not understand that. They said, How? Why? You must have done something bad to have this happen. But he didn't. And after Job was asking God these questions, in chapter 39, finally God shows up and says something. Finally, it took 39 chapters to finally answer his question. And for three chapters, God asked Job 66 questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Hey, Job, where were you when I put all the colors in the stars in the heavens? Are you the one who feeds the lions every day? Where were you when I made the earth round? All the flat earthers, the Bible says the circle of the earth in Job, by the way, just so you know. And God asked him all these questions. Where were you? Where were you? Questions that you and I can't even answer. Scientists cannot answer today. Where were you when I did? In other words, look how powerful I am, is what God is saying. Go to chapter 42. I want you to see the very end of the book. This is so good. After God asked Job 66 questions, look how powerful and mighty and great I am. Look what Job's response is. Verse number 1, then Job answered the Lord and says, okay, I know that thou canst do what? You can do anything you want, God, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee. Now listen to this. Verse 5 is so powerful. This is the crescendo of the book. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Now I see you. Now I know why you allowed this to all happen. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then God rebukes the three friends who misrepresented God, that only God bestows good upon the good and bad upon the bad, so Job, you must be bad. And God said, no, you misrepresented me. You better go to Job, and Job's going to sacrifice on your behalf. Because I'm very righteously upset with you. Okay? Then notice what it says at the end. In verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You guys see the story? He gave Job twice as much as he had before. So what truths can we learn from the book of Job? We see what happened at the beginning. We see the debate in the middle. We see the purpose of it at the end. Well, what lessons can we learn from Job? What lessons can we learn? I want you to notice, number one, that God allows bad things to touch you. God allows bad things to touch you. If you're taking notes, I want you to get this. God allows bad things to touch you. Okay? Now, notice this. God has this conversation with Satan. And they're having this conversation together. And Satan says, yeah, I would like to destroy Job. And I would like to take his life and make him, who you think is the best choice servant on the earth, I would love to see him curse you to your face. He says, but you put a hedge of protection around him, God. And so God lifts the hedge of protection off of Job. In other words, God allows bad things to touch us. You guys with me? God allows it. In other words, God's not the one who brings it to you. God's the one who allows it to happen. Okay? I want you to notice this verse in James chapter 1 and verse 13. Because God is in control of everything. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, that he is tempted, that I'm tempted of God. Okay, it goes on to say, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So let me ask you this question. When something bad happens to you, is it God that brings it or is it God that allows it? It's God that allows it. God doesn't bring evil to man. I want you to get this. Whenever something bad happens to you, we should never say, God did that. No, God allowed that. He allowed it to touch you. Now, you still have the question, well, okay, that still doesn't explain why bad things happen to good people. See, it's not God that authors the bad, but it's God who allows it. One of my favorite verses is in Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 29. Did you know that nothing can happen on this earth without God's permission? Notice what it says. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold to for a farthing? And one of them," we're talking about a sparrow, a bird, something so insignificant that many times we don't see just here out of our windows. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." He knows everything that goes on. He knows every bird that falls out of the tree onto the ground and dies. In fact, He permits it. He allows it to happen. Nothing on this earth can happen without God's permission. How many of you guys are thankful we serve a sovereign God? How many of you guys are thankful we serve a God that's always in control? That's the God that we serve. I'm so thankful for that. See, bad things may touch you. Bad things may touch you, but listen, bad things will never own you. Bad things don't define you. Bad things may touch you for a moment, but they don't own you. They don't control you. They don't define you. I want you to notice this verse, okay, about being tempted, about going through a trial. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But God is what? Faithful. Okay? God is faithful. I want you to see this. When you're going through a really bad time, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. It means, I'll never allow something in your life that I don't think you can handle. How many of you are thankful you'll never go through something like Job went through? "But will with the temptation also make" what? A way of escape. There's an end point to it. That the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It's a way out. There's going to be an end. How many of you are thankful even at the end of our life, we're suffering towards the end, we're in hospice, that the end is heaven for the saved. That the end is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more separation, no more sin. It's going to be a great day. That you may be able to what? You can bear it. But this still doesn't answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? Okay, God allows bad things to touch me. He doesn't bring it, but He allows it. Why? God allows bad things to touch you, but God also allows bad things to test you. You guys with me still? A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. What do you think your Christian life would be if everything went your way? And let me ask you this. Do you think you'd really know who God was? God allows bad things to test you. So Satan has this conversation with God. Satan says, okay, well, I would like to destroy Job. I'd love to see him. The greatest thing I would love to see is I would love to see Job curse you to your face. I think nothing brings more joy to the devil than watching God's children curse God to his face. I hate you. I hate you, what you did to me. There's so many Christians that are living in bitterness and wrath towards God because they think God's unfair. But God allows bad things to test you. It's amazing. You know what the devil said to God? He says, okay, take your hand off of his family and off of his goods and take your hand off of his health and he'll curse you to your face. He says, doth Job serve you or fear you for naught? That's what it says in verse 9. Doth Job fear you for naught? It means for nothing. You know what the word nothing means? Without pay. What the devil is saying to God is, God, you can't even get people to serve you unless you pay them. This is crazy because he was saying to Job too, Job, the only reason you're serving God is because he pays you to. Because you bless him. Look at all the blessings. Look at all his children, all his camels, and all his donkeys. If you just took that away, he'll curse you to your face because he's only serving you because you pay him to. And God, the only way you can get worshipers out there is if you pay him to. Like God's some, cosmic genie. I don't know, maybe the devil had seen it 1,000 times already. Maybe there's people raising their hands saying, "We bless you, Lord, you're so awesome." And then something's taken from them, and then they curse God to his face. See, these people aren't even real. There's no realness to the relationship with God. They're fakers. And the reason why many times God allows bad things to happen to us is to test our faith. When the devil says, "Job only fears you because you pay him to," why Job fears God is the theme of the whole book. The whole entire book of Job answers this question. Why does Job fear God? Are you guys with me? The whole book answers that question. Why, Job, why do you fear God? Let me ask you this. Why do you fear God? Why do you serve God? Like, why do you go to church? Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bible? Is it because God's like some cosmic vending machine? If I put enough coins in there, he's going to bless me with something great? And when he doesn't, I'm going to curse him to his face. Look, I don't want bad things to happen to you, and I don't want bad things to happen to me. I want my oldest daughter to get cancer, and you know, we don't want certain things to happen to our life, man. We don't want that. Man, God allows it to test us, to test our faith. Why do we fear God? And when he brings a bad thing, I think one of the best verses in the Bible is this. A lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? What's the greatest commandment?" Because the Jews had argued this, these questions. What's the greatest commandment? Because whatever the greatest commandment is, that's what we're going to keep. And then we can gloat. We can walk around like we're something. You know what Jesus said to him? He says, "The greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." The greatest commandment of all. In other words, why do you love God? Why do you serve God? Why do you fear God? Is it because of God or because of what we can get from God? There's a fundamental difference between serving God to get something from Him and serving God to get more of Him. So the whole book of Job answers this question. Why does Job serve you? Why does Job fear you? Let me ask you this. Where's your faith? Where are you when you hit financial distress? What do you do when the cold won't go away? How's your relationship with God when somebody passes away? Can I tell you, everybody in this room is going to be touched with bad things. Everybody listening online, you're going to be touched with bad things. How many of you guys understand that? In this life, you will have tribulation, right? But be a good comfort, for I have what? Overcome. I've overcome the world. I've risen from the grave. I burst through the darkness of sin and death. I can overcome. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. How many of you guys are thankful when we die? Man, it's going to be great when we get to heaven. It's going to be awesome. But right now, we're going to be touched with bad. And our faith is going to be tested with bad. How's your reaction when bad things happen? It's kind of like tea. How many of you guys enjoy tea? You guys enjoy tea? My wife says, "Hey, do you want some tea?" You know, I'm like, I don't get excited about it, but then when I'm like, okay, that's good. It's probably good for me. You know, some, and you know, antitoxins and, you know, some vitamins and things like that. And I really do need to lose some weight. I'm telling you right now. But in here, in this little bag, is some tea. Do you know how you extract the tea out of this bag? You put it in hot water. You never know what's inside of somebody until they're placed in hot water. Say, why do bad things happen to me? Because God wants to see what's inside. As your pastor, sometimes I watch you go through bad things. You know what that does for me? It allows me to see who you really are. You as a church have watched my wife and I go through bad things. You know what that allows you to do? To watch us, to see what we truly are. You know what the book of Job is all about? Seeing who Job truly was. You appreciate him more, don't you? All throughout the Bible, God tests everybody's faith. Remember John the Baptist? God said in the New Testament, he says, there's nobody greater than John the Baptist. Nobody. Nobody's ever lived before or after that's greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was taken to prison. And his faith was so shaken because he knew he was about to die. He said, is he really the one or should we look for another? In other words, why is this bad thing happening to me? I thought I was good, you know? And God says, look, the lame walk, the blind see, it's still me. Can I tell you something? Bad things may touch you because God allows it. He allows it to test you to see who you truly are. You'll never know who you are until you're tested. Embrace the bad. When it comes, by the way, if you sin and you have something bad happen, fix the sin. Okay? But if something, a circumstance hits you that wasn't your fault, embrace it. God's testing it. God's choicest servants were forged in the fires of affliction. When you see God's choice servants in the Bible, they were forged through fire and trial, and they came out looking more like Jesus. Absolutely amazing. Bad things happen to us. They touch us. They test us. And by the way, let me ask you this. How did Job respond? At the end of chapter 1, he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say, cursed is my God. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job understood one thing. You ready? Job understood one thing, that God owed him nothing. I came in with nothing. I'm going to go out with nothing. And I don't deserve anything. God, you don't owe me anything. And when you have the attitude that God owes you, then you're going to shake your fist at God when something bad hits you. You with me? When you feel entitled to everything that this world offers and God's not giving it to you, like some cosmic genie, then you are going to be ticked off with God. And all the wealth, health, and prosperity preachers hate exactly what I'm saying. So bad things touch you. Bad things test you. But also, thirdly, I want you to notice this. Bad things strengthen you. Bad things strengthen you. Okay, this is the last point, okay? I love this part, okay? Job asked the question, he says, Lord, why is this happening? I'm just not sure what you're doing here. And finally, God shows up and asks him, look, were you there when I made the foundations? Were you there when I threw the stars in the heaven? Were you? And he asks him all these questions. And at the end of the book, remember what happens? Job says, okay, I know you could do anything. And then remember in verse number 5, look again, chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. You guys see that? You know what the bad did to Job? It strengthened his relationship with God. He said, before I heard about you and I worshipped you and I sacrificed, but now I see you. It's almost a point where, like, without bad things, you're not going to see God. How do we get God to transfer from the words on the pages of the Bible to an experience and a testimony in my heart? How does that transfer happen? It happens when you go through bad things. And we don't just study the peace of God, but then you actually experience the peace of God. We don't just study God's comfort, but we experience His comfort. We don't just see God, talk about God providing. We experience God's provision. We say, after we go through something bad, we say, no, I heard about you, but now I see you. I see you. Oh, you're so real. You're so good, God. That's what happens when you go through a bad thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? So you can see God. Where would your life be if everything went your way? If everything was good and perfect? God uses bad things to strengthen you. You see, a believer who suffers, he emerges from the valley with purified character. In other words, I came out of this bad time, I came out of this valley with my character in God strengthened. I came out of this suffering and I emerged from the valley with a deeper faith in God. My faith was there, but now that I've gone through this bad thing with you, God, I partnered with you through this tough time. My faith and trust in you is now deeper. That's what Job is saying at the end. In fact, in chapter 7, Job says, he says, look, even if he kills me, I still will trust in God. His faith was deep. And if you emerge from this valley, you're going to have a greater awareness of the faithfulness of God. Can I tell you something about God? He is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, ever changes. He's faithful. When you emerge from the bad time, you emerge from the valley, your faith is deeper. Your character is strengthened. Your walk with God, it becomes real. How many of you guys would want to say this morning, you're like, I want a real walk with Jesus? Let me tell you something. That can't happen until you navigate through bad things with God biblically. Why do bad things happen to me? Why do they touch me? To test you. Why do you serve God? Why do you fear Him? Why are you doing what you do? By the way, that reveals the ones who are sincere and the ones who are not. And they also are there to strengthen you. Why do we lift weights? Why do we put resistance against our body? To what, Josh? Strengthen us. Why does God put a little pressure on our life sometimes? Why does He allow this bad thing to happen? To what? By the way, you parents who keep bailing your kids out of suffering, you're only causing your children to be weak. Weak kids who can't even handle the tough world when they get out of high school. Just saying, that was free. But I'll end with this. There's only one person who was good. Somebody came to God and says, hey, I've done all these wonderful things. Father, good Father, I've done all these wonderful things. What lack I yet? And He says, why callest thou me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. If anybody could honestly say, why do bad things happen to good people, it would be Jesus. He's the only one who could say that. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You guys with me? The only person who can honestly say, why do bad things happen? Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The only one who can truly ask this question is Jesus Christ. The real question should be this. Why do good things happen to bad people? How many would admit that if you're saved, you're holy, you're pure, you're perfect, okay? But before you were saved, you were bad. How many say this? I don't deserve anything that I have in this life anyway. How many say that? Okay? You're on the path to having a wonderful life then. Because the key to gratitude is the expectation of nothing. Naked came I in, naked I go out. I don't deserve anything. But I want you to understand something. That makes the grace of God so incredible. That I don't deserve this life, that I'm bad, but He's bestowed so much good on me. Isn't it so natural for us to always, like, we have 100 good things happen to us, and then we just stare at that one bad thing, right? If we would just count our blessings and what? Name them one by one, we would see how good the Lord is and what He hath done. But Jesus Christ took all of your bad. I want you to think about this. Every single bad thing you've ever done, past, present, and future, and He placed it on Him. He said, all your bad, I put it on me, so you won't be punished for it. I'll take the punishment for you. That's why He died on the cross. Then He was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later, burst forth from the grave, saying, look, I've conquered your sin. And when you put your trust, I want you to see this, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, okay, You're made perfect. You're made complete. You don't have to earn perfection. You don't have to earn completeness. There's not like revival and completeness and holiness up there. And I'm like trying to reach for it. No, you're already declared holy. You're already declared righteous when you accept Jesus. You're good. Now live that. You don't have to earn it anymore. You're that. Live out of that. Man, I'm so thankful that I love the gospel so much. I love this because I don't have to try to reach for something that I already am. I'm already perfect and holy and righteous because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm so thankful for that. But Jesus is the only one who can say, why do bad things happen to good people? Because there's only one that's good, and that's God. And we're bad, but yet He gives us so much good. God allows it to touch us, but not overcome us. God tests us with the bad, but He'll make a way of escape. He'll test to see if it's real. But He also allows the bad to what? Strengthen you. So I want to give you three action steps really quick. Number one, I want you to see this. God uses bad things to touch you, okay? I want you to see this. Realize that bad things do not own you. Number one, realize that bad things do not own you. You guys with me? If right now you're sitting here saying, I'm going through a really bad time, have to define you. It doesn't have to control you. It doesn't have to own you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Okay? Remember the Romans 5:8, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Number two, I want you to see this. Realize that bad things don't own you, but number two, ask yourself why you do what you do. Ask yourself, why do I do it? Why do I serve God? Why do I fear God? Why do I read my Bible and pray? And all? Am I trying to get something from Him or am I trying to get more of Him? God may allow a bad thing to see. Let me see what you really are. Let me see what's inside. And then number three, I want you to see this. Allow suffering to strengthen you. Instead, when suffering comes, instead of shaking your fist at God and keep asking why, say, you know what? What a great opportunity to strengthen me in my walk with God, to develop my character. It may be God is trying to purify you a little bit, put you in some hot water to extract some sin or some fear or whatever it is that's holding you back from reaching your potential. He's just trying to extract that from your life, and He's going to allow bad things to do that. That's the only way to get it out. I have this list about suffering. It's like, why does this happen? Suffering uncovers what is really inside our hearts. I wrote these down. Check this out. Suffering breaks us of our pride. Suffering can deepen our desire for God. Suffering can mature us. Suffering can breed humility. Suffering can jumpstart our prayer life. Suffering may prompt a lost person to receive Christ. Maybe you're here because you're suffering. You're like, I need answers. Jesus is the answer. Maybe that's what got you here. You would never came to church unless you were suffering. Suffering may lead a Christian to confess sin. Suffering causes us to deepen our trust in God. Suffering helps us appreciate other Christians who were overcomers. Suffering can teach us that God is truly sufficient. Suffering can connect us with other people. Suffering can position us to bring more glory to God. There's a purpose in your suffering. There's a purpose for it. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's to test you, to strengthen you. But maybe it's to save you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I'm not sure where I would go when I die. I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. Let me tell you something. Jesus suffered on your behalf to cover your sin. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will save you from your sin. Lord, I pray that You'd help us today to see why bad things happen to good people. Lord, it's a question many in this world ask You. But Lord, it's answered in the book of Job. And boy, Job came out of the fire of affliction, seeing You for who You truly are. And Lord, I pray that through our suffering, through the bad that we go through, I pray that we would see You. We wouldn't just hear about You, but we would actually see You. As even the three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fire. They experienced You, God. I pray that You'd help each one of us who are suffering, that we would see You in that suffering, we'd experience You. And Lord, that through that testing, Lord, that we would be like Job and not curse you, but bless you. And Lord, I pray that we would love you and serve you just for you, just to spend time with you, just to be with you.